time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber and Cranny Self Storage in Danvers. And now your hosts, Dom DeCastro and Nick Kukuru.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom DeCastro, Nick Kukuru here. What's going on? Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Heck of a lot going on east of the Merrimack Valley and south, right?
Yeah, big week for the North Shore. Merrimack Valley, a typical summer week.
Yes.
But we do got some good stuff to talk about, you know, courtesy of the Williamsport tournament.
That's right. And over our boys in the Section 4 tournament come out of it as champs with a dramatic walk-off win over Reading in the finals. And that was a 4-team tournament. Those 4 teams were part of 16 left. And it was Danvers American, Swampscott, Andover, and Reading. And Andover Reading make the finals.
Yeah.
And Andover comes out.
Kind of waste to everybody but Andover, who beat them 3 times in 3 meetings.
Oh, they beat him in the districts too, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely crazy. And we got special guest Bill Burt, Eagle Tribune sports editor, after the break to talk all about that. So he is probably the best guy to talk about Andover Little League. He's covered all of their trips in the last, 25 plus years to 30 plus years to the state finals. And he went to a couple regionals, World Series. So he'll talk all about that history. He was at the game where Andover walked off to beat Reading. He'll tell us all about that too. So I don't see any reason to banter here, Nick. Let's just get right to it.
Let's do it.
All right, Bill Burt, Eagle Tribune, after the break.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk here, Dom DeCastro, Nick Kukuru, with our one and only guest today, repeat guest here, Eagle Tribune sports editor, Bill Burt. What's going on, Bill?
Not much. Well, no, that's not really true. I mean, in the old days, this was vacation time, relaxing time, but those days are gone. We got the Patriots starting Wednesday, tomorrow, and I'll be heading over to that, probably. It'll be either myself or Hector. They're still a big deal. We had Patrice Bergeron retiring this morning. That's a story. He was beloved up here in the North Shore, Merrimack Valley. You know, my son, who's still playing baseball, the first number that he got as a young kid was 37. He was 37 in Utah.
Wow.
And Patrice Bergeron. So that's where this guy played. So my son's 26 now. I mean, that was when he was like 7-8 years old. So Patrice was in his second or third year. So he's been a big shot around here for 20 years, but almost the entire time. So, but got college football starting. We got right across the street. Merrimack's very good. They opened with Holy Cross, I think. So we got a lot going on here. So, and then locally, we're getting ready for the school year. That's really the break, high school sports. But Everything else, we're, you know, I got a guy, you have people go on vacations because this is the time you got to go. It's the summer, but we're, so we're working double duty and, you know, I got some stuff I got to do in Boston. I might even pop in and see the Red Sox, Trevor Story's in Worcester. So I got, we got a lot of options here. So in other words, what am I doing? I'm busy.
Yeah. And every 5 or 6 years, Bill, the little kids from Andover, little league circles, make it even more busy in the summer. And they're certainly doing that this summer, winning section four. And that is like the Sweet 16 of like, and you have four sections in the state, and Andover section is the northeast corner where you had Andover, Reading, Swampscott, and Danvers American. And Andover comes out of that this past weekend in the finals, beating Reading. And they move on to the state final four. Bill, you know a little bit about Andover Little League. You've covered every one of their recent amazing trips.
Yeah, it's Andover has been sort of a baseball town for as long as I've been around here. So we're talking on 40 years. Always a big deal, Little League baseball. And then, you know, when I moved to North Andover. And I will get into my history in Little League, which goes back before I was married. But we, North Andover then had a team. And then we, North Andover, and I say we, I still live here. There was like in the district championships, they played like out of 15 years, 14 years, they played for the district title. And then, you know, I think North Andover won like 7 of the last 10. So North Andover, then North Andover leaves last year for Cal Ripken, which I'd like to talk about that, but you know, at some point, because I'm a big little proponent of Little League, and you had mentioned myself. I have been covering. I covered the 1988 Andover Little League team that went to the World Series, and probably one of the in all the years I've been here, probably had more fun covering one event. Really not one event, because it was over like 3 weeks, was the Andover Little League team. And one of the writers here at the Eagle Tribune, he was coaching the team, Jim Arnold, who passed away three years ago of a heart attack. But Jim was coaching the team. And then, crazy, while he's out at the World Series, he flew home because his first son was born. So he missed the first game of the World Series for Andover. So my fascination with Little League baseball honestly started there. I played Little League. I was an all-star. I was a pretty good little player. But that was, it was funny because I said to myself when I was there, and I'll never forget, I flew into Scranton, Pennsylvania. This is after going through the region, which was incredible. They won on a walk-off grand slam to get to the World Series, a night game. I'll never forget it. They beat Delaware. And Rich Segese, who ended up moved to Florida as a 13-year-old and went to the University of Miami, where he was an All-American. Started Andover, parents moved down there. But I'll never forget when I flew from Boston to Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, which is coincidentally where my son plays AAA baseball later. But I end up drove from there. It's about a 40-minute drive to Williamsport, and it was through the mountains. And I just remember going, this is unbelievable. Then I go to the World Series, and I said that again. Wow, this is one of the great experiences I've ever had. And I remember driving back along this river, you know, probably for 45 minutes back to the airport in a rental car. And I said, wow, someday I'm going to bring my son. When I have a son, if I have a son, I want to bring him back. I was 26 years old at the time. So I said, when I have a son, I will bring him to the Little League World Series. And lo and behold, so that's 88. You know, I have a son in 1996, 2003, he's 7 years old. And we go to Williamsport with my wife, who I didn't know back at, before in 88, I met her in 1990. And we ended up went to the Little League World Series 5 years in a row. And we would go to the opening weekend. And, you know, for the first couple of years, he was starstruck, bringing baseballs, these little leaguers are signing them. We have one baseball, though, a kid that made the major leagues that he signed that first year. I forget the guy's name. It's still up in his bedroom. He's not home anymore, but it's still in his bedroom. But the best experience, family experience, I recommend it to anyone that's even listening to this. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how old your kids are. Go spend 3 or 4 days in Williamsport, Pennsylvania at the beginning of the Little League World Series. And I say the beginning because then at the end, you can come home and watch the games on TV and you'll know the players because you're running into them walking through the village and whatnot. So great experience. And now, so that being said, I am a big proponent of Little League baseball.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Bill, take us to this year's Andover team. It seemed like Section 4 tournament, Reading was rolling everybody except for Andover, and Andover beat them in the district round too. So yeah, they seem to really have Reading's number.
So it's funny. I was thinking Reading was the team that was probably going to win it. And then Danvers beats Andover. I knew Andover. Andover had the arguably the best player, kid Jedward Sanchez. I'm writing a story about him for tomorrow in the Eagle Tribune. Kids were chanting "Big Poppy, Poppy, Poppy." I think he's Dominican. He's huge. Every team's got the 2 12-year-olds that are 6'4" and that have beards. He's the closest to that, but a powerful kid. But they didn't start him the first game against Danvers. He pitched the second game, and he threw a no-hitter. They had no chance. I mean, he was 17 Ks, struck out the first 17 of 18 batters, or 19 batters, had 2 walks. And then the last out was a ground ball to third. He might be a better pitcher than he was a hitter. Then they get to the Reading game, and Andover Pop goes ahead 2-0 early. Reading comes back with 3 runs in the second inning to make it 3-2, or third inning, 3-2. And then bases loaded, 2 outs. If it was me, and I know how good everyone knew how good Jedward was. Everyone knows he was the best player.
Yeah.
And I'm walking him with the bases loaded and taking a 3-3 tie for the inning. That's what I would have done. Well, lo and behold, they pitched to him. They threw him a couple of balls, 2-0. Next pitch, he hit a 110 mile an hour. And I know 110 nowadays because everyone, we see that. A laser over the center field fence, only by a foot, but it was a line drive that just kept going. They take a 6-3 lead. Then it's 6-4, 8-4. Then it's Little League Baseball, ninth inning. Now, mind you, both teams' best pitchers weren't available, Jedward and the pitcher for Reading. So crazy stuff. A walk, hit batsman, an error, a single. Next thing you know, it's 8-8. And Andover gets out of the inning, and then they start the next inning. Jedward's up. They walked Jedward, the superstar, to open the inning. And then there was an out, then a walk, and then a single. And I took a video of the game, and they won it 9-8. And they're a funny group. They're the coach was telling me, Coach Ilsley, Sean Ilsley, that this is the same like 10 guys that have been together since 10 years old on this All-Star team. So they know each other well. And he said they're all sort of become best friends, even though they go to this like 4 different middle schools. They do a lot together during the years, and parents have sleepovers, and it's just the Little League team, and it's in the winter. So these guys definitely have have that little bond, and it matters in games like this. I coached a team that lost to the Peabody. So on my son's team in 2009, we lost to Peabody 1-0 in the sectional championship, and that team went to the World Series.
Yeah,
but our team was very close. We were not that good, to be honest with you. We were young. We had 4 or 5 kids that ended up played the next year. Were better the next year, but I learned a lesson: the importance of when the kids like each other, and when everyone knows their roles, and there's no complaining. Coaches and players, you win. That's how you win. And the year before, it's funny. I coached the 12-year-old team when my son was 11. That team was way more talented than the next year, but everyone wanted to play a different position, and they were all upset that the two coaches, assistant coaches, were not happy. They were their kids, whatever. So that kind of stuff, when that enters the fray, don't win. It was a great lesson. I learned 11 and 12 years old, the importance of role playing and how important that is.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were talking about your son's back then, his run, and that was in the midst of Peabody West's like 5 in a row they had won in this section, but and Andover comes in and wins it in 2011, Andover National, And then they win it again in 2015, but it's been a shutout, you know, since then. 2023, here we are. You know, it's been 8 years since Andover's been to this spot.
So the 2011 team? I think it's a 2011 team. That's the team that went to the, that won the States as well.
Yep.
And then they go to the regionals, and they're like one strike away from going to the World Series. And there was like a line drive single, and then they win. Rhode Island beats the Andover team in a walk-off. It looked like, I'm telling you, they were going to the World Series. The buses were already warming. Oof. Andover was going again. Think about it. It was 23 years later after the other one, after the first time they went. And it's going back to the 88 team. The reason why that was a big deal, Massachusetts hadn't been to the Little League World Series in like 27 years. So that's why that Andover team, we got a lot of press back then from all the Boston stations because a Massachusetts team hadn't gone. I don't know if it was that long, but it was a long time. And then after that, Worcester went, Saugus went, Peabody went, you know, so it was after that Andover team that we started, Massachusetts started doing very, Walpole went, kid Johnny Adams, who went to Boston College, you know, he was the best player on that Walpole team. So Massachusetts is really, to be honest with you, turned out to be the best team in New England, in my opinion.
For sure. Bill, take us, you know, to this year's state finals tournament. I know it's in Oxford, so a bit of a drive for you guys. But who's Andover's biggest competition there?
Well, I think their biggest competition is the first game, and it's going to be against Canton. And the only thing I will say going for Andover is they're probably going to pitch their star. And he's, in my opinion, going to be still probably the best pitcher at the state tournament as well. So they win a game there. Now you're going to have to get a little creative. The rest of their pitchers are good, but it's just a little different. And because what you're going to do is you're going to face, most teams have two aces or three, and North Andover I think has one, and he's the best. And I will say he probably will pitch a shutout or give up one run. But I don't know if that's going to be enough to win this tournament. If they get, you know, they do have a couple other pitchers and they're good. And don't get me wrong. But in the end, what you got to do is you got to strike people out. And that's really the key. And I don't know if they got that. They got that strikeout guy. So the other team, I think, is the other team is, I heard, so Canton was the team. I guess they haven't lost and they're winning by double digits a lot of games. Barnstable down the Cape, also a very good team. And the other team is Rutland, Mass, out near the Worcester area. So, and that's it. They have a really good history out there as well. They've been to a couple of World Series, not Rutland per se, but the Worcester area. So this is a real good tournament. And I will say Andover will not, if they don't win, they won't go out quietly. It is double elimination, same thing. The winners play, the two winners will play, the two losers will play, and that team goes home the second day, and then the two winners will play, and the winning team goes to the winner's bracket, and it is double elimination. So that's what it comes down to. Andover is the new thing with Little League, and I don't know if you guys know it. It was just started this year, and it's throughout the whole playoff. Every batter, every hit on the team hits.
Yeah, continuous, yeah.
Yes. And I didn't know it until I saw it. But the reasoning is everyone hits, and then you can do whatever you want in the lineup. So you may hit and not play. So you could have three guys that are DHs per se, or four guys that are DHs. Or the other thing is, and I like it, you could just move kids around and you don't have to tell who's, you know, tell the other coach who's going to second base. And you don't have to. What happened is they found out that too many discussions about how many innings a kid would play and coaches going to work in a kid for two innings. So now I will say it sounds a little weird, 13 kids batting, but you know what? Everyone plays. And usually, for the most part, I think Andover gets almost every kid in the field, too. But that's not a prerequisite nowadays. Obviously, you want to win, and that's the key. So you want your best players out there. But everyone hits. Everyone gets two at-bats. That's it. You're guaranteed two. But the third at-bat is if you can get a couple runs. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have probably a couple guys down there covering. I'm going to get down probably for one or two of the days. I'll jump in. If they're in the final, if they're in the championship, I'll probably get on that Sunday. So it goes Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it's fun. Listen, I'm a big fan. I'll never forget the section championship game when we played Peabody, West Peabody. And it was at Winoma Park in Lynn. And that park, there was 300 people on the hill. There were about 500 people wrapped around the whole stadium. It felt like a major league game. And my son, to this day, we talk about this. He said we lost the game 1-0. It was the most exciting sporting event my son had ever played. And it's still to this day.
Yeah. And you got to have a special group of kids there, Bill, because, you know, let's not forget, they're going from, you know, parents only, grandparents kind of fans in a regular season game in May to possibly ESPN. Yes. Right. Like a few months later, you have to have some kids that just adjust just like that to the spotlight.
Right. And it's I will tell you, though, what and it's the great Little League Baseball does a great thing is, you know, because people say that's too much pressure on the kids, but the kids are insulated there. They don't really know, other than they're being treated like gods, and they are treated like gods, but they're not getting the I don't know how to say this, but it's you would think that it's nerve-wracking, and I'm not saying it isn't, but they're there to play baseball and have fun, and they do a lot of the dancing stuff in between innings. They bring kids out there with umpires, and they bring out the logo and the mascots, and they do their dancing. But that happens in Connecticut as well at the New England Regional. So I got to give Little League credit, because from afar you would say this is too much pressure on a 12-year-old kid, but they're insulated from the pressure, if you can believe it, and they are. They are in Williamsport and to some extent in Connecticut as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And this Andover team is the real deal. I mean, you know, to come out of that tournament against Reading. And who was the one that had the walk-off?
The walk-off was Dean Davis for Andover. So he had two hits, and it's a great story. I talked to both him and Jedward. Jedward, are you nervous when fans chant Poppy, Poppy? He says, oh, no. I love the support. Then I asked Dean, were you nervous? He goes, my leg was shaking. I could barely see the ball, and I don't even know how I hit it. So you get, but that's great. And that's what it's about. And then you come through once, the kid, Noah Caruso, his father's a financial guy. His grandfather used to work at the Eagle Tribune here as our lawyer. And he's a big lawyer in Andover. And you know, he knows nothing about, I see him at all the games. He thinks he knows about sports, the grandfather. I'm good friends with him. But his grandson's the smallest kid there, but he bats first. He makes contact. He plays short. He's a good little player. There's a lot of that. And Andover's got a lot of those guys. I mean, I could go through the whole roster. Dean Davis, Brody Evans, Nick Ilsley, the coach's son, Andrew Irvin had two big hits on Saturday. PJ Kapka might be the biggest power hitter outside of Sanchez. Shea Killigan, you got Deacon Wood, Logan Sullivan, who's probably the best basketball player in this area, North Shore. On this team, he's a good player in basketball. You're going to hear the name. Remember Logan Sullivan from Andover. He's going to be big time. And Jack Stevens, Jack Shea, and Cole Szymanski. So it's a great group, and they're fun. Again, they like each other, and that's a great I know we see kids celebrate after winning, but you know, these guys have been doing it for 3 years. They won the state 3 years in a row. They got to the state 3 years in a row, and so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely, Bill. What's the biggest strength of this team? I know I've covered two teams that made it this far, and they were completely opposite teams, but you know, equally effective.
So this team is 1 through 13, which is important. Yeah. All can hit. So not saying power hitters. They have like 2 to 3 home run hitters. They have the best. So here's the strengths. The best player in the tournament they have, and he will be the best player in the tournament, in my opinion, if they get to New England. He's that good. There's a drop off after that, but they've got 3 or 4, 2 or 3 guys that are home run hitters. But every kid can hit. They don't strike out a lot. And that's a big deal because, as you know, you get later in a game, you hit the ball hard. That's when the errors happen. And they also get two good catchers. That's really, in my opinion, the most important position in Little League Baseball is catcher, besides pitcher, is catcher, because the catcher runs the game. Passed balls are killers. And keeping the ball in front and not letting them get to second and third into a position where they can score. But Andover can hit, and every kid can hit. So win the first game 2-1. Then you're going to have to win 6-5, and then you're going to have to win 9-8. And they've done that. That's funny thing is, they've done that. That's how they play. So that's the way they're going to win. That's how Andover is going to win this tournament if they do and get to the New England Regionals.
Awesome. Well, Bill, let's wrap with any final thoughts on anything outside of Little League that you feel super hot right now in the Merrimack Valley.
Well, we got not really. Again, the high school season. This is the quiet time. It's like the end of July, and it starts getting hot again as we get ready for the spring season. But the Merrimack Valley, one thing I will say: our baseball in general. We had two kids drafted, one from Rowley, but Andover, Sean Sullivan out of Wake Forest signed a $2 million deal with the Rockies, a left-handed pitcher, started Northwestern 1 year, then did a year at Wake Forest, and all of a sudden became, 42nd pick, I think, overall, just got $2 million. So, hey, how you doing? Yeah, right. Me too. And then we have Thomas White from Rowley, who was, he just signed his deal. He got Boris as an agent. His slot money was 2.4. He got 4.1. Of course, Boris doesn't get less. He gets more. So he's going. We got a lot of college baseball players in our area. Just a lot from the North Andover area. Central Catholics got 4 Division I players. Baseball is our sport, to be honest with you. And it's funny, we're talking about Little League Baseball. If you had asked me, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I would have said our sport's football and basketball. No, it's baseball. And softball's starting to get a little better too. But Merrimack baseball, just picking up a couple of good recruits as well. They just got a Central kid. They got Jay Yanako's son. He's a former draft pick from Pinkerton Academy from 22 years ago. His son is going to Merrimack, a catcher. So I think Cole Yanako. So Baseball's a big deal around here, and that's fun. I'm a big baseball guy. Football for me is the easiest sport to cover, probably the most fun to cover. But as a fan of the sport, it's baseball. I love the sport of baseball.
And so doesn't your son. Where is he lately? Is he playing for Somerset as of now?
Yeah, so he's at Somerset. He was up in AAA for about 3 weeks. Then they signed 2 free agents. We weren't really thrilled about that. But we just got to – so for him – space opens up. He's had a really good year. He's upped his game offensively, which he needed to do. He was, going back to his days at the prep. He was recruited in college because of his defense. He won Defensive Player of the Year in college at shortstop. Then in the pros, it's been incrementally improved his hitting, but I think it's where it needs to be, and he's close. So a trade here, a trade there. And maybe he's back in AAA soon, and then he's a phone call away. Someone gets hurt. So, but the key is he's getting better and better, and that's really the key. Once you stagnate a few years, there's guys coming up passing you. You can't do that, and he's still getting better. And that's why I'm very proud of him. He works his butt off. He always has, and he wants to be a major leaguer. So when people say, "All right, I'll pray for your son," I go, "No, pray for his father."
Yeah, his batting average right now is the highest it's been, like, on a consistent level. Outside of that, like, I'm looking at his stats, like Tampa 6-game run, he batted .423. Right now he's inching up towards .260, so it seems like he's climbing.
Yeah, he was up. He started, to be honest with you, he was up over .300 for a good chunk of the season and led the team in homers. Then a couple prospects got moved up, and despite having the best week of his career, he went down to playing 2 games. That's what happens. They know what they got with him, though. I will say defensively, he's had the best, he's noted for his defense. He's had a really good year defensively. So, I'm very proud of him. I'm proud of the way he's handled it. And he's dealt with a lot of adversity. And this year in particular as well, playing as well and not really playing every day. Right now he's playing more, but, the thing is, the goal is to not get to the major leagues, though that's obviously the goal. But the goal is not to play there, but to stay there. And there's a difference. 80% of the guys that get called up to the majors get sent back. Wow. And the goal is get up there and stay there and add value and bring Vanergy. You know, he's a hustler. He runs hard. He's always got dirt in his uniform. He's had dirt in his uniform as a four-year-old in T-ball. So this is like it's something my wife would go, Jesus, cleaning these uniforms. And every other kid's is white because he's diving on balls. You know, we've been diving for balls since he was 4 or 5 years old in the backyard. And so it's sort of his thing. So we'll see. We're still a long ways to go. No promises. I think he might do it. And, but we'll see. And like I said, we'll ride the wave.
Yeah, year five for him right now. All good. All right, Bill Burr, Eagle Tribune sports editor and the beat reporter for Andover Little League. Thank you for joining us on the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. Have a good one, our friend.
Thank you. Take care.
All right.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk final segment. Thank you, Bill Burt, for that wonderful interview. Very packed with Little League information. Bill's the GOAT of Little League and over Little League coverage. So this is where we do our top moments of the week from the Valley. Nick, we'll start with you. What do you got?
Yeah, we do. Bill Burt alluded to it a bit. We'll speak a little more here. Thomas White, Phillips Andover grad, Raleigh natives. He's a North Shore kid, too, I guess you could say. Drafted 17th overall by the Miami Marlins, and he is going. He could have gone to Vanderbilt. He's getting recruited by Vanderbilt. Instead, he signed a $4.1 million contract over the weekend. He'll be reporting to Miami Marlins minor league system. That's a 6'5" left-hander who throws gas. And awesome. I mean, I've heard this kid's name since he was about a freshman. So it's, he's lived up to that hype and is a, first round draft pick.
Yeah. Awesome. Someone else to watch, baby. I love it. I'm going to go to Chelmsford. We got a couple here, top moments. I'm going to go with Lil Son talking about Chelmsford, former Chelmsford football star, Jake Chasen, named captain at Western New England. That's pretty cool. He had 32 solo tackles, 62 assisted tackles last fall, 5'11", 205, and he finished fourth in the, looks like the Commonwealth Conference in total tackles. Pretty cool. He was also named all CCC first team, all noontime D3 New England football team, and also from his town as well, Chelmsford, a high school pitcher, Matthew Stewart, representing Massachusetts at the High School Baseball National Championship Series in Dallas. That's a pretty cool thing.
Absolutely.
So, yay to the Lions.
All right. All around the Valley. Still doing good, even in the offseason.
I think that about wraps it up in the Merrimack Valley for now. Thank you, Bill Burt. And we're back every week, msonewsports.com. Stay with us. Find out what's going on in the Valley for sports. All right, Nick, you all good?
All good.
All right, we'll talk soon. Have a good one.